calling on the Holy Spirit. Almighty River, come and fill me again.
Lord, if you're not here working, then we're just wasting our time. We need you, Lord. We didn't come here for a social gathering. We came to encounter you. Lord, I pray that as we open up the scriptures, and attempt to open up our hearts and minds to you, Lord, that supernatural power would flow from your word into our spirit, and then flow from our lives into this community. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Good to see y'all today. Seems a little late for this, but this is actually our Voice the Vision sermon. What does that mean? Well, we start each year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, seeking the Lord. What are you saying to this house for this season? And I believe I got a clear word from God. And when I say word, is that's like one word, which I'd rather have full sentences and paragraphs. But it was the word maturity. The word maturity. And he begins to unfold that. And it's not an accusation. I never felt like it was an accusation towards the church. But the fact of the matter is that the Lord wants to do more in and through us. And so, if we want to have more capacity, that comes with more maturity. Maturity equals capacity. Greater maturity, greater capacity. We want the greater. Amen? We want the greater. And so, you don't expect, when you have a newborn baby, and we have a lot of them here in this church, and it's a good church growth program. Just have lots of babies. We just was talking, we got a couple coming in July. One will be my brand new granddaughter, baby girl. And yes, be our first grandchild. And Christy brought this up the other day. I was just feeling something. I was watching something and I said, if my granddaughter wants a horse, she's getting a horse. Yeah. Get what she wants. Anyway, I don't know how I got off onto that, but it's a good church growth program to send home some candles and sweet music and have babies. So that's, but when we have these babies, you don't expect a brand new baby child to be able to have a lot of capacity. They have to grow in their capacity. To grow in their capacity to receive and to grow in their capacity to give. That makes sense, doesn't it? A brand new Christian may be limited in their capacity, but can grow very quickly through obedience. There's words that come with this word maturity. Words like humility. Words like unity. Obedience. These are words that all kind of work together with this word maturity. So as we look at the scriptures, I want to go first to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. I believe the reason that the Lord had placed this on my heart is because this is going to be a year of transition for this church. We're going to be transitioning from this property to the Loop in a couple months. Praise God. Amen. We're so excited. Man. And we're going to go from these nice facilities, we're going to go from these facilities to a pavilion. Y'all ain't really excited about the pavilion. We're going to go from heat and air to out there. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. You know why? Because it will be a church without limits. Yeah, it's a part of the process. There's a transition. We will have the most amazing, most beautiful church you may have ever seen eventually. But first, we're going to have a pavilion. And obviously, you didn't come here for the facilities anyway, so I don't expect to lose you just by going over there. But we will be in a time of transition, and transitions inevitably bring tests. Transitions bring testing. Where there's shift, there is struggle, especially when it comes to people. Because we don't like shifts and we don't like changes. How many of y'all have sat in the exact same seat for the last month? Don't lie to me. Raise your hand. I see you. You come and sit in the same seat twice, that's your seat. You claimed it. So, you know, the easiest thing to do is keep doing what you've always done. So every time we transition, it comes with tests. When the nation of Israel was transitioning from Canaan land to Egypt to Canaan land, it was a time of transition, and God brought tests in the transition. And transitions are a time for testing, and when you pass the test, you get to promote. When you fail the test, guess what? You get to take it again. The nation of Israel got to take the test over and over again. Are you going to trust God or not trust God? When they didn't trust God, what came with that was complaining and griping. The word is murmuring. They're fussing. They're mad. And they're blaming it on Moses. And God is mad because they haven't learned to trust him yet. He's like, if you just pass this test, you get to promote. But if you continue to fail the test, we get to go another round in the wilderness. Transitions bring testing. I don't like them. Nobody signs up for suffering 101, do we? But the scriptures tell us that even Jesus learned obedience and came to maturity through the things that he suffered. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience. Has it ever just kind of disturbed you a little bit that Jesus had to learn anything? I mean, it's Jesus. But the scriptures tell us that when he was a boy, that he grew in stature, and he grew basically internally and externally in favor with God and men. And we also know that in Philippians chapter 2, that he, as he left his home in glory, it says that he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. He humbled himself, he became a man. When he became a man, he didn't just come as an omniscient baby that knew everything. He grew in his understanding as well. And then he also grew in his maturity. I struggle with that a little bit. Jesus had to grow in his maturity. Well, that's what this scripture tells us. It says in verse 8, though he was a son, even the only begotten son of God, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. We don't want to hear that. I don't want to go through suffering. I would love to be able to preach some false gospel of, you know, if you just had enough faith, you'd never suffer. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he followed it up with, be of good cheer, I have overcome this world. Amen. There's going to be struggle. But you know what struggle does? Struggle stretches us. Greater maturity, greater capacity. Greater maturity, greater capacity. You know, that little baby's belly is just a little tiny. And over time, it will stretch and be able to contain more. I have made it a point to be of greater capacity. I know a lot. And will be in just a few hours. And hold a lot. What about spiritually? How much can you hold? Do you get filled over a 5-minute devotional? Or do you say, Lord, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving my chair each morning, my quiet time area where I sit there. I may sit there for an hour. Lord, I ain't leaving here until your presence is evident. Until your presence has shifted this soul. How much capacity have you got? Just a 5-minute devotional, just a little YouTube video of secondhand information, or do you really press into the presence of God? Lord, I can hold a lot. Bring it on, buddy. I can hold it. Lord, bring it. And so here's this past scripture. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Let's keep reading. Verse 9, and having been perfected, and I want you to look at that word of scripture there, and it's easy to see, well, Jesus was perfect. But that's not the same way that you might think it means. That word perfected is a Greek word that you're going to see in other places. I ain't even going to tell you the Greek word because it won't make sense to you. But what it means is not Jesus kind of perfect, like sinless, no flaws. That's not the word. It's the word complete and mature. Complete and mature. And he had been made complete. He had been made mature through learning obedience, through suffering, through struggle. The struggles stretched him, even to the point, verse 9, and having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Called by God as high priest. I want to drop down to verse 12. For though by this time, now this is where, I need to back up verse 11. Paul is trying to, or the writer of Hebrews is trying to bring greater depth, greater instruction, greater meat to the listeners. And he says in verse 10, Jesus was called by God and the high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. This is some deep stuff, by the way. Whole nother Bible study. Of whom we have much to say and hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. When I'm talking about greater maturity for Sand Springs, it is not an accusation. I did not feel like it came as an accusation from the Lord. But he says, I want to stretch you. I want to bring greater capacity because I'm going to do more through you. There will be times of transition. There will be the times of testing. Just the transition themselves will be a test. And I want to be able to do greater things through you. But there is a danger of through familiarity of God, his spirit, his word, a time of familiarity can lead to dullness. Dullness. I've had people say, you know, I didn't appreciate what I had here until I went somewhere else where it was dead. What happens to someone who wakes up every day to the most beautiful scenery is over time they've failed to appreciate it. It's no longer amazing to them anymore. Your relationship with Jesus, you can cool off. You can become dull in that relationship. You can lose the awe of your salvation. And so what Paul, or whoever wrote this passage, I think it's Paul, whatever he is saying, he's saying to this group of Jewish Christians, and the whole theme of this whole passage of scripture is, the whole book of Hebrews is, don't drift. Don't drift. Because we are all in danger of drifting in our spiritual life. And you know what you have to do to drift? Not a thing. If you ain't driving, you're drifting. If you're not intentionally moving forward, you're just going with the wind. And so that's the whole purpose of this book of the Bible, the Hebrews. Don't drift. Don't become dull of hearing. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. The first principles of the oracles of God. Spitting all over myself up here. It's good preaching. So the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. It sounds like they are going backwards. They have become dull. They no longer are able to eat the solid. They're kind of sliding backwards. Doesn't it? Does it sound like a backward progress? And he said, but this solid food belongs, verse 14, to those who are full age. That is those who by reason of use. I need y'all to catch that. We're going to run off of this one right quick. The reason of use, by reason of use. In other words, they are using what they have been given. They are, because they're using what they have been given, now God has given them spiritual things. They're using those spiritual things for his good, for his glory, our good, the good of the kingdom. It says, for reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Faith is like a muscle. The more you use it, the more it grows. If you don't use it, it will atrophy. Our faith needs to be understanding God has given us spiritual gifts, spiritual treasure. His word is spirit. Let's put it to practice. Let's put it to use. Let's exercise what he has given us. And so I want to look in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And I'm going to quickly run through a lot of scripture. So let's listen fast. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I said there are some words that go with maturity. There's humility, and that's right here in verse 2. There's unity, that's right here in verse 3. And so we see these scriptures that say there's some things that accompany maturity. Verse 4, there is one body, one spirit, just as you were called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one, everybody say each one. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Everybody say gifts. Everybody say each one.
Each one.
Everybody say gifts.
Yes.
You are very obedient people. I like that. I hope you're picking up on what I'm laying down. Each one of us have been given gifts, grace gifts. God has graced you with gifts, each one of us. And as we use the gifts he has given us, it grows us individually. And as we use the gifts that he has given us, to the betterment of our fellow Christians, it grows us completely as a body. As I use my spiritual gift, it grows me. As I use it towards you, it grows us. As you use your spiritual gift, if you don't know what that spiritual gift is, man, we got classes to help you know your spiritual gift. But I'm going to tell you real easy. If you chase your passion, you'll catch your purpose. Chase your passion, you'll catch your purpose. You'll understand what your spiritual gift is. And so he has given you a spiritual gift, and as you use it, you will grow in maturity and capacity, and we will grow as a body. That's what all this is saying. It goes into verse 11. It says that Jesus himself has given the church five gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. And those five giftings are their equipping gifts. And they are to equip the saints, all of us, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So it uses the word body. So each of us has a body. You are not a body, but you have a body. And your body has all kinds of parts and pieces. And hopefully they work together. If they're working right, they were all working together. You got all kinds of systems. You have circulatory system, respiratory system, electrical system, plumbing systems. So we're also called a building. It's actually right down in 1 Corinthians, another book. We're called a building, we're called a body. We all have different purposes and different things. And when we come together using what God has gifted us with, the entire building, the entire body grows. Amen? So let's, verse 13. Till we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a, here's that word again, perfect man. To a complete, to a mature person. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Don't we want the fullness of Christ? Don't we want everything he has for us? I want everything he has for me. I don't want to miss not one thing. I don't want to miss a single bit of my inheritance. Everything that he has and wants me to have, I want it. Verse 14, that we should no longer be children, immature, tossed back and forth, to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. You want to get confused? You want to get frustrated? Learn your theology from YouTube and Instagram reels, whatever you call them. If that's where you get your theology, you may get to the point of frustration where you just walk away from the Lord. But he says, no, we need to grow up in maturity in the truth. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, and that is Christ. Are you hearing from Jesus? That's a good question. Are you hearing from Jesus? Or are you getting blown back and forth with every wind of doctrine? That's what Scripture talks about. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, Jesus, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by whatever joint supplies according to the effective working. You see, this all, it's all tied together. All these scriptures tied together that there's working going on, spiritual gifts going on. God imparts his spirit. And then when we use what he has given us, y'all know I can't talk good. Y'all know that. Then I grow, we grow, the kingdom grows. To the effective working by which every part does its share causes growth of the body for the edifying, building up of itself in love. Amen. There are some things, I have a slide that kind of gives some of the description. There are some things that come with maturity. They're just automatic. And there are some things that come with immaturity. Immature people are just takers. They just come to take. When they're church shopping, they're looking for a church that offers them the most. When a mature person is church shopping, they're looking for a place where they can serve the most. But immature people are selfish. It's all about me. Mature people are selfless. Immature people want to be served. Mature people want to serve. Immature people are petty. It's the slightest little things that just really, oh, Pastor, I have concern. Pastor, I have a problem. Yeah, you and everybody else, get in line. But mature people, they're not creating conflict. No, they're humble. Immature people are divisive. Mature people are unifying. And then this last one might be a little confusing until I explain it. Immature people are religious. Oh, I'm sorry, it meant rigid. That wasn't really an accident. What is religion? And when I'm speaking of it in the negative tone, I'm speaking of that which is ritual, rules, and repetition. I call it checklist Christianity. Here's the difference between that, checklist Christianity, religion, versus relationship. One lives by law, one lives by love. One lives by, is this wrong and right? Other is, by making this decision, am I expressing my love towards the Lord? You see the difference? Religion is rigid. And when Jesus was explaining this to his followers, his disciples, he used the expression about an old wineskin and new wine and old wine. So he says, you don't put new wine in old wineskin. Why? What's wrong with old wineskin? Old wineskin is not going to stretch. It's rigid. It's not pliable. New wine is active. It's expanding. And if it's in old wineskin, it ain't just expanding, it's exploding. And our God is not irresponsible or wasteful. So what he says is when he looks at a person that is rigid, immature, checklist Christianity, live by the rules, here's what the word said, but they have never heard from the Spirit. By the way, this is horrible, I'm going to say it. You can make this say whatever you want it to say. If you don't have the Spirit of truth living within you, you'll twist this. You must have the Spirit of truth living within you to interpret the word of truth. That's good right there. If that rubbed a cat the wrong way, turn the cat around. Amen. So, I don't know where I was going with it. Oh, wineskin. So, rigid is actually unstable. It's actually unstable. It's that which is flexible and pliable that is actually stable. because God is expanding. His new wine is active. This word is living and active. That's what the scripture tells us. It's constantly empowering. The scriptures tell us don't be conformed to the things of this world, outward pressure, but be transformed. That is an inward power. Amen. How am I going to receive more inward power? By greater capacity. Or how do I get greater capacity? By using what he already gave me. It will continue to mature me and expand me. And here's the cool stuff about Jesus. He brings the good wine at the end of the party. Y'all remember his first miracle? Master of ceremonies says, what's going on in this party? I ain't never seen anything like this. He says, most times people bring the good stuff at the first. And here, y'all brought the really good stuff at the last. By the way, this was insight that I got at 3 a.m. this morning. I wanted to tell the Lord, it can wait till 6. He said, no. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. The more that I love him, the more joy he bestows. Each day is like heaven. My heart overflows. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. I have another way of saying it. It's just getting gooder and gooder. Amen. Amen. He just continues to bring more. He continues to bring more in quantity and more in quality. He continues to do more. He continues to expand his kingdom, and we get to get in on it. Amen. We get to be a part of it. We get to see and be a part of what he's doing. And I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. As we go through a time of transition this season, transition from one place to the next, transition from doing different things, the Lord has expressed to us, if you're going to make it, if you're going to make the transition, if you're going to pass the test, it's going to come with maturity. It's going to come with maturity. As we read these scriptures, one of the things we understand is that how maturity comes is first and foremost with an awareness. It comes with an awareness. As we read these scriptures, sometimes it convicts us. Sometimes it says, maybe I'm not quite as spiritually mature as I thought I were. See, it's not an accusation about emotional maturity. It's an examination about spiritual maturity. How are we with the spiritual things of God? Are we using what he's given? Because as we do, he gives more. Amen. So first, it may bring awareness. I'm not as well off as I thought I was. I do sometimes want my way always. See, that's immaturity. It's not have anything to do with age. An immature person wants their way always and right away. Age doesn't have anything to do with it. I've known some very immature old people. I want my way always and bring it right away. And I want to say, you awful immature for your age. So let us be spiritually mature. As we transition, there may be times when I have to surrender what I want for what you need. That's maturity. There may be times that I realize that what I wanted to have is not nearly as important as what you needed to have. And so I surrender my will to yours. There may be times when I recognize that this is serving a greater purpose than just my pleasure. I'm going to wrap it up with this. You might have heard this before. Weak people make excuses. Strong people make changes. Kingdom people make a difference. Let's try that again. Weak people make excuses. Well, if I'd have grown up in a different atmosphere, if I wouldn't have had that done to me, it's just the way I am. It's just the way I'm wired. I can't help it. That's just who I am. Weak people make excuses. That's immaturity. An immature person will make excuses. A weak person will make excuses. You know, if I had not been mistreated like I were, if I hadn't been dealt a different hand of cards, then my life, if I hadn't been abused, I would be successful. Weak people make excuses. Strong people make changes. Now, you'll notice that those first two, it can be applied to the world. It can be applied to a Christian. Strong person says, you know what? I'm tired of making excuses. I'm tired of excusing away why, you know, I have been just doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting something different to happen. I need to make a change. One of my jobs in the military, I fix stuff. And this is stupid to most people, but some of us guys will get it. When you have a three-phase motor, electric motor, this is crazy. You have a three-phase electric motor that sometimes will run backwards. How many of y'all, for all the bonus points, if you have a three-phase motor running backwards, what do you do? Y'all are brilliant. You men, this is, oh, it's a man church right here. I'm so touched. Some of y'all didn't hear that. Change any two wires. That's how you do. You have a three-phase motor running backwards. What do you do? Change something. If your life is running backwards, change something. Woo! Don't keep cussing the thing just because it's running back. Change something. Weak people make. Strong people make.
Changes.
Kingdom people. Spiritually mature people. Make a difference. Amen. Amen. And individually, I can make a difference. But corporately, man, the difference we can make. When we come together as a body of Christ, the difference we can make. Amen. Amen. I need to wrap this thing up, but I'm going to give one more illustration. I didn't do this the first service. And I'm going to borrow you to get to it real quick. And not harm it. This actually came out as an illustration during our 21 days morning prayer time. And this is so good. This is a guitar string. That's a guitar string. This is the head, and this is the body. Everybody with me? The head of the guitar, the body of the guitar. That guitar string is now out of tune. That guitar, just kidding. Just kidding. It needs to be connected to the head and the body. You are a guitar string. You need to be connected to the head, which is Jesus, and the body, which is his church. And then when we get together, we can make music. I am trying not to destroy your. We can harmonize. We can come together and make. You see, but I need to be connected to Jesus. And I need to be connected to the body because my purpose is found here. And then we can join together more instruments. We can come together with more. And as this church continues to grow and we grow with, we become more instruments. And we're like an orchestra in this community. And it's just like, man, the people of this community are just look at them with amazement. Look at God. Look at God. That's what happens when every one of us individual strings come together and say, I need to get in tune. First, I need to be connected to Jesus. And I am called by God to be connected to the body. Harmonized, in tune, working together. And then God brings the orchestra. Amen. Amen. Father God, I pray that every one of us would get that. First and foremost, I need to be connected to you. And then you called us, Lord, to be connected to other believers. And that's called the church. And our purpose is found within the body of Christ. Lord, may we allow you to pull tension so that we can make music. Use us, God, for your glory. For your glory is our good. Thank you, God. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.